All right, Shabbat Shalom, Mishpaha. Hope everybody is having a blessed and wonderful Sabbath so far. Praise Yah for his set-apart day. I am Brother Daniel Brown coming to you live from Northeast Colorado with our weekly Shabbat message. As you can see by the title of my message, I will be preaching on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or also called the Bread of Affliction, or also known as Matzot. And so some of the things that we're going to be talking about today is, what is the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Are we still to observe it today? And what significance is there in keeping it? And what ultimately does it point and lead to? But before we get started, let's go ahead and open up with the blowing of the shofars and with a word of prayer. Amen. So if you have your shofars, go ahead and grab it, and we'll sound the alarm. Amen. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. All right, let's pray, family. Avinu Malkinu, our Father and our King. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Father in heaven, we bow and we humble and we surrender and submit ourselves over to you. In the mighty precious name of Yehovah Yeshua, our Messiah. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you, our Heavenly Father, for your Shabbat, for your set-apart time. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you, Abba, for your Son, Yeshua, Messiah. For your Holy Spirit, Father, for your grace and mercy and love and long-suffering towards us. We thank you and praise you, Father, for being able to gather together, Abba, with this modern technology from all around the world to hear what your word says today. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you, our Heavenly Father, that even before the foundations of the world, you called us, you chose us, you set us apart to be that righteous and holy and set apart people, Father, for removing the blinders off of our eyes so that we may see and behold your truth, your Torah, your Son, Yeshua. Father in heaven, we pray today in the name of Yeshua Messiah, Abba, that you would set a guard over the door of my lips, that nothing would proceed out of my lips that's not from you. Abba, touch the cold to my lips, our Heavenly Father. Abba, we pray in the name of Yeshua that you would give us all ears to hear and eyes to see, Father, as I speak on your feast, your set-apart time. Father in heaven, eliminate any and all distractions and help us all to be attentive to what the word of Yah says today. Father in heaven, may your presence go before us, stand guard over us, and protect us in the name of Yeshua Messiah. Father in heaven, we pray that you would use me as thy vessel to test everything according to what thus says Yehovah, what the scriptures say. Father in heaven, we love you and thank you and praise you, Father. We love your Son, Yeshua, and we love your Holy Spirit, Father. In Yeshua's mighty, precious name we pray. Hallelujah and amen. All right. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, also known as Matzot, or also called the Bread of Affliction. First of all, I want to praise Yah for his set-apart day, for his Shabbat. Man, Mishpaha, the more we draw closer to Yah, the more Shabbats he allows us to have. You know, he brought my wife and my family, myself and my family, to his truth back in 2013, 2014. And the first few Shabbats that we kept, I just sat in my chair twiddling my thumbs. Being a farmer for 20 plus years, it's like I don't know what to do with myself. But now it's like I can't wait for Shabbat. I can't wait for this set apart time. I can't wait for this command a day of rest. I want to turn to Isaiah 56 and read verses 1 through 8 for you guys today. Isaiah 56, 1 through 8. Keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the Son of Man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to Yehovah speak, saying, Yehovah has utterly separated me from his people. Nor let the eunuch say, Here I am, a dry tree. For thus says Yehovah to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, and choose what pleases me, and hold fast my covenant. Even to them I will give in my house, even and within my walls, a place and a name better than that the sons than of that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to Yehovah to serve him, and to the name of Yehovah to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling my Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring into my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called the house of prayer for all nations. Yehovah Elohim, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, Yet I will gather to him, others besides those who are gathered to him. And then turn to Isaiah 58. And I want to read verse number 13 and 14. Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14 goes right along with Isaiah 56. If you turn your foot away from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of Yehovah, honorable, and honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in Yehovah, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Yaakov your father. The mouth of Yehovah has spoken it. You know, in Isaiah 56, it talks about the eunuch. A eunuch was somebody who was a castrated male, and they were in charge of the virgins for the king. And so the eunuchs were worthless. They couldn't have children. They couldn't get married. They sold everything to the king so they could live in the kingdom, okay? And so a castrated male, he was the bottom of the barrel type of person. Yeshua, Yehovah says in Isaiah 56, even to the eunuch who keeps my Shabbat, who keeps it holy, who keeps it set apart, he will give a name to them better of that than sons and daughters. Even though they were the bottom of the barrel here on earth, if they keep the Shabbat, even to the eunuchs, he would give them a name better than that of sons and daughters. How much better are we, Mishpaha, Gentiles, just like the eunuchs who have been grafted into the family of Yehovah, who have been called out and set apart unto him for his honor and glory. The blinders have been removed in order for us to see and to hear what the word of Yah says. It's not because we have to, we get to. Mishpaha, keep his Shabbat, keep his feast, keep his Moedim, keep his set apart times. It is a privilege, it is a blessing, and it is an honor. Because there's a lot of people in this world that don't get this privilege, that are not called by the name of Yah, and they're missing out. The Sabbath is a blessing. The Sabbath is a delight. You know, I have this conversation with my wife many, many times. I don't know how we survived. And I just had this conversation with a friend of mine this morning, whom Yah just brought to his truth in keeping his Shabbat. I don't know how we ever survived without knowing about Shabbat, having that commanded day of rest to stop, to cease, to dwell in the presence of the Most High God. It is to be a delight. It's not a burden. It is a delight. The world calls it a burden because you have to stop from everything. You have to cease from everything. But we, as children of Yah, call it a delight. That's what I'm going to get into today. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, or the Feast of Matzot. Yah not only holds the Sabbath near and dear to his heart, he holds his Moedim near and dear to his heart. And as us here at SY7, we will be observing the Feast of the Passover meal, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of First Fruits here. We will be having our Passover meal on April 23rd as per sighting of the new moon in Israel on April 9th, 14 days. And after that, the month of Aviv, or Nisan, as some people know it by as well. And then we'll go right into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that following Sunday after the weekly Shabbat will be First Fruits. And we start counting the Omer right after that. And so 2 weeks ago, I preached on Passover. Last week, Brother James preached on the First Fruits. And today I will conclude the Spring Feast teachings by speaking on Matzot. So before we really dive into the Feast of Matzot, if anybody is new here watching and this is your first year observing the feast, if you're only 1 or 2 years into it, or you've been observing it for 50 years or anywhere in between, this message is for each and every one of us. And if you're just passing by through YouTube, on Facebook, whatever, and tuning in for just a brief moment, and you do call yourself a child of the King, but you don't know about his feast yet, I want to give some scriptures giving everybody a dire warning. If we don't observe his feasts, if we don't observe his Moedim, if we don't hold the Shabbat holy and righteous and set apart, if we don't follow his word. James chapter number 2, verse number 26. Towards the back of the book, James chapter number 2, verse number 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And then Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. Clear at the end of the book. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. If you want to jump back a few verses to verse number 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, for they shall have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and lovers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. If we have Yeshua as our Messiah, if we have Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Master and our King, Mishpaha, Yah gives us an entire book from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21 of what we're to do and what we're not to do. Not because he wants to thumb us, but because he loves us and he wants to keep us safe. And he wants us all to inherit eternal life just as the Apostle Paul writes, that Yah does not want any man to perish, but all to come to a state of repentance. For we know, as what the book of 1 John says, those who practice righteousness shall inherit glory, but those who practice unrighteousness, we see it here in the book of Revelation, chapter number 22, but outside are all of those who practice unrighteousness, to sum it up. Righteous, these works that Yah wants us to do were created even before the foundation of the world, that we should walk in them. Just as Romans 3:31 says, do we then make void the law of God? God forbid. We establish it. We walk by it. We live by it, Mishpaha. We are called to be children of light. We are called to the battlefield. We're not called to sit on the sidelines. We're not called to sit on the couch and wait for the coming day of our Master and Savior and King, King Yeshua. We are called to go out and preach the gospel of repentance, the gospel of obedience. The gospel don't start in Matthew 1. It starts in Genesis 1:1. And it's a perfectly laid out plan of salvation from beginning to end. In Mishpaha, we're living in the days where we could see Yeshua coming back at any moment. I'm not going to get into pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. That's, everybody has their own opinion on that. I know what the scripture says. Those who endure until the end shall be saved. We're in a dress rehearsal. We're waiting to be married back to our King, King Yeshua, Mishpaha. We're being trained to observe his commandments, his feasts, his modim, because everything that has happened in the scripture from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, and that will happen, I believe firmly that it happens around, all around his set apart times. As we've seen, as I preached on Passover, Brother James preached on first fruits, and I'll be preaching on Matzot, we see Yeshua's death, burial, and resurrection. And we see in the summertime, we see the Feast of Pentecost or the Feast of Shavuot. We see the giving of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter number 2. And in the beginning of the book, we see where Yah gave his commandments to the children of Israel as he brought them out of Egypt. And in the fall feast, we see the Feast of Trumpets, where it's believed that he will return on the Day of Atonement, judgment, and then the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot, we see dwelling with our King forever and ever. And so a perfect prophetic timeline of our Savior and Master and King, King Yeshua, Mishpaha. Just as Yah holds the weekly Sabbath near and dear to his heart, he holds his feast, his set apart times. And if we want to know Yehovah our Father through Yeshua the Son, we need to live and to walk and to breathe like our Messiah walked. In many different messages, I have preached sermons about who we are, being children of Avraham, children of Israel, children of the Most High Yah. We've been grafted into the family of Yah. We see it in Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 14, Romans 11, and Galatians 2:3, and Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. I encourage everybody to go read those. We are children of the Most High God, children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are not to partake in the leaven of this world, the leaven of the Pharisees, and I'm going to be getting into that as well. But the leaven of this world, that we have been lifted up with pride and arrogance and stubbornness, Mishpaha. We need to get rid of the leaven in our lives, and this is what this message is going to be about. And we need to follow Yah. We need to circumcise our hearts to follow after him. Now, I know there's going to be people that might come on here and say, well, Passover was last month, or and the Feast of Matzot is already over and done with. And Brother James mentioned this last week in Colossians chapter number 2. I don't believe I have this in my scriptures. But in Colossians chapter number 2, I want to give this as a gentle reminder. I believe, I know that we're all at different stages in our walk with Yah. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We're all at different stages in our walk. Okay. Colossians chapter number 2. Verse number 16. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or in guarding a festival or in a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Messiah. I read that, those two verses of scripture to say this. If you're observing Passover, if you're observing first fruits, if you're observing the Feast of Unleavened Bread this year, it doesn't matter when you observed it and celebrated it. If your heart has been circumcised to want to follow after Yah to keep his ways, we do the best that we can to our ability. And when we do that, Yah, number one, Yah is going to reward our obedience unto him. And number two, Yeshua is going to set everything straight when he comes again and sets up his kingdom. Like I said, there's a lot of people following different calendars, timelines, and that's fine. If you have been called out of the world, you're not celebrating Christmas and Easter and Valentine's Day and all of that nonsense, the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of this world, the leaven of religion, and you have been called out and set apart and you're doing his feasts, your heart has been circumcised to follow after him. And don't let anybody judge you for doing that, because you're doing it to the best of your ability as Yah has shown you. Amen. All right, so a few verses of scripture showing people, like I said, if you're just coming into the knowledge of the truth and you don't know what to do, you don't know whether or not to observe his feasts or not, I want to give a few verses of scripture. Exodus chapter number 34, and I'm trying to keep this in chronological order to make it a little bit easier for everybody going through their Bibles. So Exodus chapter number 34. Amen, sweetheart. It is all about the heart, and if your heart's been circumcised to follow after him, amen. Exodus 34, 10 through 28. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all your people. I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among whom you are shall see the work of Yehovah. For it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Observe what I have commanded you this day. Behold, I am driving out from you before you the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to yourself, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare in your midst. But you shall destroy their altars, break their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images, for you shall worship no other god. For Yehovah, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods and make sacrifice to their gods. And one of them invites you, and you eat his sacrifice, and you take of his daughters for your sons and his daughters, play the harlot with their gods, and make your sons play the harlot with their gods. You shall make no molded gods for yourselves. The feast of unleavened bread you shall keep. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, as I commanded you, in the appointed time of the month of Aviv. For in the month of Aviv you came out of Egypt. Now I want to say there, Egypt has always been a type of the world. Leaven has always been considered a type of sin. And so sin is unrighteousness, is disobedience to Yah's word, to 1 John 3:4, we know that sin is a transgression of Yehovah's holy law. So when we sin, we commit lawlessness and we put leaven in our lives. And as the word of Yah says, a little bit of sin, a little bit of leaven, leaven's a whole lump. Once you put it in, you can't get it back out. So we need to make sure that we're setting ourselves apart from the world, from sin. We don't go back to Egypt anymore. We let it all go. And we don't turn back to Egypt. We don't turn back to the world. Amen. Verse number 19. All that open the womb are mine, and every male firstborn among your livestock, whether ox or sheep. But the firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with the lamb. And if you will not redeem him, then you shall break its neck. All the firstborn of your sons you shall redeem, and none shall appear before me empty-handed. 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, in plowing time and in harvest. You shall observe the feast of weeks, of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and in the feast of end-gathering at year's end. 3 times in the year all your men shall appear before the Adon Yehovah Elohim of Israel. For I will cast out the nations before you and enlarge your borders. Neither will any man covet your land when you go up to appear before Yehovah your Elohim 3 times in a year. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, nor shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until morning. On the first of the firstfruits of your land you shall bring into the house of Yehovah your Elohim. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Then Yehovah said to Moshe, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with Yehovah 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter number 12, verse number 29. Through 32. Deuteronomy 12:29-32. When Yehovah your Elohim cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship Yehovah your Elohim in that way. For every abomination to Yehovah which he hates, they have done to their gods, for they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it or take away from it. That sounds really familiar. We just read it in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. Do not add to the word and do not take away from it. We do what the word says to do and we don't do what the word says not to do. Mishpacha, it is his word. Yah did not give us the authority to change his word, to change his ways, to change the seasons and the times. They are set from the beginning of the foundation of the world. And we can read about them in Genesis chapter number 1 in the perfect days of creation. Now let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter number 10 verses 1 through 5. Remember what Deuteronomy 12 verse 32 says. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it and you shall not take away from it. Having our hearts circumcised to follow after Yah and to keep his ways. Now, I know that, like I had said earlier, and I want to reiterate this, we're all on the same path, but we're all at different levels of our walk. We all have a little bit of a different understanding, and that's okay. But if our hearts are truly circumcised to want to follow after Yah, He will reveal himself. He will reveal his word to us. We have everything what we need right here in Yah's word. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Looking at extra biblical text, that's great. That's all fine and dandy. But if that extra biblical text does not line up with Yah's word, you need to throw it out. I know there's a lot of teachers, a lot of pastors out there who are using Jubilees, who are using Enoch to prove points, and it goes contrary to what Yah's word says. Mishpaha, we need to hold fast to what the word of Yah says. All right, so I'm going to just go ahead and read Jeremiah 10, verses 1 through 5. Hear the word which Yehovah speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says Yehovah. Now take heed to what the word of Yah says. I like to say this occasionally. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just reading what Yah's word says. What we're to do and what we're not to do. Don't be mad at me. If you have an issue, take it up with our Heavenly Father. This is His holy word. This ain't mine. We need to hold fast to this covenant. That's what I was saying. There are many, many people who are taking extra biblical texts, Jasher, all of those extra texts, and taking the Talmud and the Mishnah and the Kabbalah, all of those. They're putting them in higher authority over Yah's word. Mishpaha, we cannot question what Yah's word says. And I firmly believe that without a shadow of a doubt, that from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, we have the exact copy of what we need, what Yah intended for us today. Like I said earlier, if you study extra biblical text, that is okay. But make sure that that extra biblical text lines up with Yah's holy set apart word. If it does not, it needs to go away immediately. So many people are twisting scripture and trying to get it to fit their idea of what Yah's word says. There's one thing that Yah's scripture left out, and that is each and every one of our opinions. Your opinion does not matter. And when we all stand before the great white throne judgment in the judgment seat of Messiah, we will all give an account how we handled His word and whether or not we preached it and lived the truth or we held to some man-made doctrine. So with that, I want to read Jeremiah 10, 1 through 5. Hear the word of Yehovah that speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says Yehovah, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not learn the way of the world. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers, so that it will not topple. They are upright like a palm tree and cannot speak and must be carried. Because they cannot go by themselves, do not be afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, nor can they do any good. Now, I believe it's talking about the Christmas tree and graven images here. Do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not learn the way that the nations, that the Gentiles serve their gods. And I'm going to tell you this right now. We just, the world religion just got done celebrating Easter. Easter has absolutely nothing to do with Yeshua, the Messiah. It is a made-up pagan festival that the Roman Catholic Church designed. In Christmas, it is another pagan, Gentile, religious activity that has nothing to do with Yeshua, Messiah. The world is trying to serve Yeshua. The world is trying to serve the Father in a way that is not acceptable to the Father. It is vain. It is worthless, Mishpaha. We are not to learn the ways that they serve their gods. And that's what they are. It's the world's as gods. And if Christmas and Easter was truly, truly about Yeshua the Mashiach, guess what? The world would hate it. You really have to ask yourself these questions and think about it. Test everything of what we do to Scripture and hold fast and hold tight to what the Word of Yah says. The 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Test everything of what you do to Scripture. Don't let me, don't let anybody else here at SY7, and especially don't let anybody of this world tell you how to serve and worship Yah. If it does not line up with Scripture, get rid of it. We are all going to be held accountable for the way that we worship Yah on this earth. We need to be careful to observe His ways, Mishpacha. We need to be careful and diligent and purposeful in our walk with Him. Because I'm not going to be standing next to nobody. Nobody's going to be standing next to me. We will all be standing before the throne individually. That scares me to death. There's two different phrases that people are going to hear. One is, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, you workers of lawlessness, Torahlessness. I never knew you. And then there's going to be those that hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Come on in. Standing at the great white throne judgment. The ones on the right are going to spend eternity with Yeshua, and the ones on the left are going to spend eternity in Sheol. There is no middle partition. It's either the New Jerusalem or it's hell. The lake of fire that burns forever and ever with fire and brimstone. We need to make the choice today. Like I had said earlier, in my wife posted the scripture, Galatians 5:9, a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. We can't pick and choose what sounds good to us and what works for us. It's either all or none. We can't ride the fence. Yah will judge His house first. We need to make sure that we're going to be found on the right side when judgment comes to us, Mishpacha. We all have a choice. He's not going to force us to serve Him. But we all have a choice to either accept or reject Yah's truth. Proverbs 28:9, it says, he who turns his ear away from the law, even his prayer, shall be an abomination. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 25. Reading the book of Hebrews in my daily devotions. I love the book of Hebrews. So much meat in it. All right, Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Yeshua, our Passover lamb, by a new and living way he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of Elohim, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I want to go ahead and read a few more verses. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries, Anyone who has rejected Moshe's law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," thus says the Adon. And again, Yehovah will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Number one, I want to point out, gathering together with like-minded believers. If you have a fellowship, if you have a place that you are able to gather together with brethren, Mishpaha, we're to encourage one another, we're to pray for one another, we're to lay hands on the sick and the lame, we're to encourage one another with songs and spiritual songs and hymns according to the scriptures, we're to build one another up. We can't do that if we're not gathering together on his set apart days, on the weekly Shabbat, on his set apart Moedim days. We are commanded to get together, and the signs and the times are all around us. He has given us specific times to gather together, set it apart for his children, the body of Messiah, to come together, to encourage one another. Passover, first fruits, matzot, unleavened bread, Shavuot or Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, and Sukkot. In the weekly Shabbat, his set apart time. They are not to be called a common thing. Yeshua is not a common thing. So many people make it a common thing. Here in a few weeks, I'm going to be doing a message of convenience or conviction. And boy, it hit me hard. We can't serve Yah out of convenience. It has to be a conviction. It wasn't convenient for Yeshua when he hung on that cross between heaven and hell. He knew what he had to do. He could have called down 10,000 legions of angels to get him off of that cross and wipe everybody out. But no, he was obedient even to the Father, even unto death. He was dead, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And he is the bread of life that we are to feed on each and every day. Yah says in his word, do not keep the feast with the leaven of the world. And this is a warning for everybody who does. If we try to keep Passover in unleavened bread while we're still living in the world, and partaking in worldly things, we drink judgment on ourselves. Just as I preached 2 weeks ago about Passover, we need to judge ourselves. That way we don't bring judgment on ourselves, according to Yah's word. We need to be careful. We need to be diligent. We need to ask Yah to rid us, to cleanse us of anything and everything that is not righteous, that is not holy, that is not set apart, so that number one, he meets with us. Number two, that we can hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant, come on in." I don't want to hear those words, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Get out from my presence, I never knew you." Many will say in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not done many good works?" Those works mean nothing. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14 say, "For let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Just as James chapter 2 says, "Faith without works is dead." The works are the works of Torah that were created before the foundation of the world. They were given to Moshe at Mount Sinai, given to the children of Israel, and they're still valid, prevalent for us today. We are still to observe them. They are very important. Don't seclude yourself. Don't just lay at home on the couch. Yes, having the Shabbat rest is good, but when it's time to gather together with the brethren, pick yourself up and get yourself to the place of meeting. Mishpaha, we need the encouragement. We all need the encouragement. We all need the fellowship, not only with one another, but if Yah were to show up and to move in our presence. Man, I have felt the Holy Spirit move. A few weeks ago, it was just my wife and myself and our two boys, and the Holy Spirit came upon us. How beautiful and wonderful that was. And there have been times when I've been in a room full of people and the Holy Spirit has come down and met with all of us, and people received Yeshua as their Messiah. There was repentance, there was healing and restoration. How beautiful and awesome that was. Mishpaha, we cannot afford not to gather together with the brethren. It's easy just to stay home and say, I'm tired, I can't do this today. It's a Sabbath, I'm going to rest. Okay, that's fine, rest. There's nothing wrong with resting, but sometimes we have to push ourselves and gather together with the brethren. Mishpaha, not only that, verse number 26 in Hebrews 10, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. If your heart has not been truly circumcised to follow after Yah, and we're still dabbling with the things of this world, we need to repent immediately. We need to put away false god worship. We need to put away idol worship. We need to put away the flesh. We need to walk in newness of life. And I'm going to be getting into that scripture here before too long as well. 1 Corinthians 5 verses 1 through 8. Behold, old things are passed away and all things are become new. Put away the things of the flesh. Put away the things of the world. You have been called out. You have been set apart to be that righteous and holy and set apart people. Put away the leaven of the world, the leaven of the Pharisees. Put away the leaven of religion and stop living a lie. Stop living in hypocrisy and live your life pleasing to Yah. There's a saying that I like to say, it's not original, but I would rather stand with God and be judged by man than stand with man and be judged by God. Because when I am judged by God, none of those that I would stand with would be with me. Stand with Yah and stand firm on His word. Times are getting tough. Times are getting scary. They're talking about World War III. They're talking about a full-blown invasion, this and that, and everything else. There's wars and rumors of wars. There's famines. There's pestilences. There's bad things coming. And Mishpaha, if we have read the Bible at all, we know that things have to get a whole lot worse before they can get better. Draw near unto Yah while He still may be found, Mishpaha. There's a lot of people who say, live your best life now because we're only here for just a short period of time. But I say, we have a short time to prepare for eternity because eternity is forever. And the choices we make on this earth will impact our place of eternity. Yah gives us specific things to do to set us apart, to know that we are His children. We walk by faith and not by sight. He is a jealous Yah, and He, number one, will not share His glory with anybody else. But number two, He wants all of us. He just doesn't want weekend visits and us doing whatever we want to do the rest of the time. He wants all of us. Yes, we're to worship Yah each and every day of the week. We're to live for Him each and every day of the week. But his Shabbat, his set-apart time, his Moedim, his feasts were created for us to set us apart from the rest of the world. We have to ask ourselves these questions. Are we truly set apart for his honor and glory? Like I had said earlier, we keep these feasts to know Yah better. We don't keep them because we have to. We keep them because we want to and because we love him. John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. In John 14:15, John 15:14 says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you to do. May Yehovah give us all ears to hear and eyes to see what the word of Yehovah says today. The feast, the term, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it can be found 43 times in the New King James Bible. Let's go clear back to the beginning. As we get into this message today, Mishpaha, ears to hear and eyes to see. Don't shoot the messenger. That was all introduction for what I'm getting ready to say now. I'm getting into the heart of the message now. May Yah give us all ears to hear and eyes to see what thus says Yehovah. Let's turn back to Leviticus 23, verses 4 through 8. These are the feasts of Yehovah, holy convocations which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is Yehovah's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to Yehovah. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yehovah for 7 days. The 7th day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. And let's turn over to Deuteronomy 16 verses 1 through 8. Deuteronomy 16:1-8. Observe the month of Aviv and keep the Passover to Yehovah your El. For in the month of Aviv, Yehovah your El brought you out of Egypt by night. Therefore you shall sacrifice the Passover to Yehovah your El from the flock and the herd in the place where Yehovah chooses to put his name. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it, that is, the bread of affliction, for you came out of the land of Egypt in haste. I want to stop right there and say this. As I said earlier, Egypt has always been a type of the world. How serious and how purposeful have each and every one of us been by coming out of Egypt, coming out of the world in haste? That's what it's talking about. How diligent have we been to get rid of the leaven in our lives? Or are we like, yeah, I got time to repent. It's okay. I'm going to live my best life now, as there's a lot of preachers that say that. Live your best life now. It's okay. We got time. No, we don't have time. I'm giving the warning today. We have absolutely no time. The word of Yah says that today is the day of salvation. Thus says Yehovah, repent of your sins, repent of the leaven, and turn from your wicked ways, and turn and serve and worship Yehovah the Father in spirit and in truth. You know, when Yeshua ascended into heaven, the disciples were sad. They didn't want to see their Messiah go, but they knew that he had to. You know, the disciples prayed and fasted after he ascended into heaven. They preached repentance because they were hopeful that the Messiah would come back right then and there. Mishpaha, we need to be doing the same. We are closer than ever before with all of the world events that are happening right now. We're living in the days of Matthew 24. Go and read that. They have the red heifers ready for sacrifice. Don't know when they're going to do it. I'm not a prophet. I don't. It'll happen when it'll happen, when Yah allows it to happen. But everything is ready. Come out of the world and set yourself apart unto Him. And stop playing around with Yah's word. There is no time to play around. There's no more time to be riding the fence. Joshua 24:15, if it seems evil to you unto this day to serve Yehovah, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve Yehovah. Verse number 3. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread with it. That is the bread of affliction. For you came out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day in which you came out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. And no leaven shall be seen among you in all your territory for 7 days, nor shall any of the meat that you sacrifice the first day at twilight remain overnight until morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates, which Yehovah your El gives you, but in the place where Yehovah your El chooses to make his name abide. There you shall sacrifice the Passover at twilight, at the going down of the sun, and at the time you came out of Egypt, and you shall roast and eat it in the place where Yehovah your El chooses. And in the morning you shall turn and go to your tents. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a sacred assembly to Yehovah your El. You shall do no work on it. My wife posted a scripture, 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, working together with him. Then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of Elohim in vain, for he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is a favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, sweetheart. So the word unleavened bread, in the Hebrew, it is H4682, masa or matzo. Unleavened bread or cake without leaven. It has not been soured with yeast. Unfermented cake or loaf. Nothing risen. And in the Greek, it is G106, and it can be found in 1 Corinthians 5:8. Same definition, unfermented, free from leaven or yeast. Of the unleavened loaves used in the Pesach feast of the Jews, free from faults or the leaven of iniquity, the leaven of the Pharisees. And I forgot unleavened bread to show you guys a picture of it, and my apologies for that. But you can go online and you can type in your search box unleavened bread, and it will bring you up pictures of different types of unleavened bread and recipes and everything like that. And so the bread that we see on the grocery store shelves, it is risen bread. It is leavened bread. It's got holes in it. Cakes, crackers, tortillas, even some chips and cereals, cookies, and various other items can have leaven in it. And when we're going through our houses, when we're going through our homes and searching to get rid of any and all leaven, we need to read the labels diligently and purposefully and be very, very careful. And so I just got handed a box of matzot. And so here's what we get. Here's what the unleavened bread looks like for us. Now you guys can make your own at home as well. But here's what the inside looks like right here. It is flat. It is tasteless, flavorless. I think this one has salt added to it. But that's about it. And so the leavened bread on the store shelves were to get rid of all of the leaven out of our houses. No leaven shall be found within our houses for 7 days. Now, some people take it to extreme lengths, and we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But some people get rid of the baking soda. Some people get rid of baking powder. Some people get rid of eggs. It's all a personal conviction. We used to get rid of baking soda. We don't do that anymore because by itself it cannot leaven. We do get rid of all of the leavened products in our house, whether it's in a freezer or in our root cellar. We get rid of it all. And I just found some sauces earlier and found out that they have yeast in them. It's like, well, guess what? That's going away too. And so we need to be diligent. And just as diligent as we are in getting rid of the leaven out of our houses, Mishpaha, as we are the temple of the living God, we are to glorify Yah in our bodies, and we're to get rid of the leaven out of our hearts and out of our lives. Leaven, as you remember me saying earlier, is a type of sin. The leaven of the Pharisees. If we're still walking in an accordance to this world and doing what the world does in any way, shape, or form, and we're being disobedient to Yah's word, we still have the leaven of the Pharisees. And we need to repent of that. This is where the rubber meets the road. Let's go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I need to read it. Let's go ahead and read 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, verses 1 through 8. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife, and you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you, for indeed as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present him who has done so. This is this deed in the name of our Adon Yeshua Messiah, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Adon Yeshua Messiah, deliver such a one to Satan for destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Adon Yeshua. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be made new, a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Messiah, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. If we're doing it just to do it to look good on the outside, we're doing it for the wrong reason. We become Pharisees and scribes. We become hypocrites in our walk with Yah. Remember, the circumcision of the heart, it's all about the matter of the heart, on whether or not we're willing to go to great lengths to get rid of all of the leaven out of our lives. Just as we dump out the toasters, we go diligently through our root cellars, all of our supplies and all of our freezers, everything that we go through to get rid of the physical leaven out of our houses, out of our dwelling places, according to scriptures, we need to do the same thing in our hearts and to make sure that there is absolutely no leaven in our hearts or in our lives. Remember, a little bit of leaven leavens a whole lump. A little bit of sin leavens the whole body. What are we holding on to that is leavening the lump? I like to call this time of year the original spring cleaning, Mishpaha. You think about it. You're trying to get every breadcrumb You're making sure that there is absolutely no leaven found in your dwelling places. People start cleaning. I've even heard of people getting rid of furniture. Brother Anthony had told me a story that they picked up a pretty good couch there in Israel during Passover one year that they were there, because they just threw it out on the curb for it to be picked up because they didn't want any leaven in our houses. They didn't want any leaven in their house. Are we willing to go to great lengths, to that type of extreme measure? Because remember, Yeshua is coming back for a spotless bride. No spot, no blemish. Has your heart been circumcised to go to great lakes like that? The first time that we see this feast commanded is in Exodus chapter number 12. Exodus 12, 14 through 20. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to Yehovah throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. Okay, so I want to stop right there in verse number 16. The first and last day of unleavened bread is a holy convocation. We are to treat it like a Shabbat. No buy, no sell, no trade. Don't cause anybody to work. Don't work yourself. We are to gather together with the brethren. Okay? But there's one exception to this feast. On the first day and on the last day of unleavened bread, we are permitted to cook on these 2 days. This can be found in Exodus chapter number 12, verse number 16. We can cook what we're going to eat that day. Don't cook a feast that's going to last you 5-6 days. You're permitted to cook what you're going to eat for that day, and nothing more. That is the only difference in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Outside of that, we're to treat it like a weekly Shabbat. Verse number 17, you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. We keep seeing everlasting, we keep seeing perpetual, we keep seeing forever and ever. Mishpacha, how long is that for? Forever. Eternity. We are to do it as an ordinance because Yah has set us apart. It doesn't matter if you gave your life over to Yeshua in December, January, or any of the other months of the year. We are to observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the bread of affliction. As Yah has called us out of Egypt, He's called us out of the world, He has set us apart. We keep this feast as a remembrance of Him calling us out to not go back, just as He called the children of Israel out of Egypt and brought them to the bottom of Mount Sinai when they crossed the Red Sea and went across that and seen the many mighty miracles of Yah. And He set them apart. He set the mixed multitude apart unto Him for His honor, for His glory, and for His praise. He has done the same thing for us. We do this as a remembrance of what He has done for us. He has chosen us. We did not choose Him, but He has chosen us and set us apart for His honor, for His glory, and for His praise. For 7 days, verse number 19, verse 18. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses. since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Whether he is a stranger or a native of the land, you shall eat nothing leavened in your dwelling, in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moshe called for the elders of Israel. Let me make sure I'm... Nope. Okay, I want to jump down to verses 31 through 42. Then he called for Moshe and Aharon by night and said, "Rise, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve Yehovah as you have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We shall all be dead." So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneading bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moshe, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And Yehovah had given all the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides children. A mixed multitude went up with them also, in flocks and herds, a great deal of livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not yet leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on the very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of Yehovah went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to Yehovah for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is a night of Yehovah, a solemn observance for the children of Israel throughout their generations. The Feast of Unleavened Bread takes place directly after the Passover meal. We're to observe Passover at twilight, at the going down of the sun, as a memorial of what Yeshua did with the disciples. They had the Passover meal. He broke bread with them. He broke unleavened bread with them. We are to observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread for the sacrifice of what Yeshua did for us. For his body was broken for us, but not a bone was broken. He was bruised for our transgressions. I'm going to go ahead and read Isaiah 53. It gives a perfect description of unleavened bread. Isaiah 53. Who has believed our report, and whom has the arm of Yehovah been revealed? For he shall grow up as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquitted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs, he has carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Now I want to give a representation of this. If y'all can see it, you can see the discoloration of the unleavened bread, and you can see the holes in it, how it's been perforated. And it's a very, very thin piece of unleavened bread. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. By his stripes, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned every one to his own way. Yehovah has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. Yet it pleased Yehovah to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Yehovah shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Talking about Yehovah, Yeshua, Mashiach, our Savior and our Master and King, our Passover Lamb, the perfect sacrifice that was given for us. He was bruised for us. He was beaten for us, so that we may live a life of peace and shalom, and may inherit eternal glory through the blood of Yeshua Messiah. Yeshua says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes up unto the Father but through me. Whoever calls upon the name of Yeshua shall be saved. You might know him better as Jesus Christ, his Hebrew name being Yeshua. When I gave my life over to the Lord in August of 2011, I had no idea Yeshua was his name. I had no idea Yehovah was the Father's name. I had no idea about Shabbat. I was just an old country farm boy going to an old Baptist revival. That old Alabama preacher, he preached, do you know that you know that you know that you know? Well, of course I know. I do this, I do this, I do everything. I do everything right like I've been taught. Two nights later, we went back to the same meeting, same preacher, same message, same everything. Man, I fell under conviction. God will call people out of darkness and into his marvelous light, and call him into his truth. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I gave my life over to Yeshua in August of 11. My wife gave her life over to Yeshua in October of 2011. And then he revealed his truth to us 2.5 years later. And we've been perfecting it ever since. We're not perfect. We're not saved sinners. We're children of the Most High Yah, wanting to please our Heavenly Father, walking out our faith by the works that were created for us to walk in before the foundation of the world. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread, getting rid of the old leaven, getting rid of the ways of the world, getting rid of sin and iniquity, and circumcising your heart to follow after him. I want to turn back to Exodus chapter number 13. Another passage of scripture of some regulations. Exodus 13, 1 through 10. Actually, let's just start in verse number 3. Moshe said to the people, remember this day which you were brought out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand Yehovah brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day you are going out in the month of Aviv. Then, and it shall be, when Yehovah brings you into the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep this service in this month. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day you shall be a feast to Yehovah. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. if it's a little or if it's a lot, were to eat unleavened bread for 7 days. And no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what Yehovah did for me when I came out of Egypt. It shall be as a sign to you on your hand, as a memorial between your eyes, that Yehovah's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand Yehovah has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. For me and my family, when the Gregorian calendar hits January 1 Mishpacha, I start going through all of our stuff. I gather up all the leaven and I put it in a certain place in our house. And we start eating it just little by little. Because the first year we observed unleavened bread, we didn't do it exactly quite right. Because we came into Torah late in the, or we came into Torah towards Passover, and we had heard about unleavened bread, and we wanted to get the leaven out of our house, but I wasn't going to throw it away. And so what I did, I took two or three, big, massive totes full of leaven, and we put it in our garage, and we didn't step foot or anything. And then I told my wife after that year, next year, we're going to work on it a lot better. We're going to start it this time, and we're going to get rid of it. We're going to eat it. No leaven shall be found among you in all of your dwelling place. We all grow at different paces, but we're all on the same walk. We're all to get rid of the leaven out of our hearts and out of our lives. It is an ordinance forever and ever. It's just not a one and done deal. It says in Exodus 13, from year to year, we are to observe it. So in January, we start cleaning all of it out. And then come Passover time, we only have just a little bit left that we throw away, that we either couldn't eat or we can't use. And we throw it out. And we get rid of it out of our dwelling. Exodus 12, 15 through 17. Seven days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. On the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you. I read that earlier, but I wanted to read it again. We keep this as a memorial, as an example of what Yah did for each and every one of us, calling us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Like I said earlier, it doesn't matter what time of year Yah brought you out and Yah called you into his truth. He has given us an appointed time, his Moedim, for us to observe, to set apart unto him, to show the world who we belong to. Yes, sweetheart, it's more important to get rid of the leaven in our hearts. That should be our main focus for this feast. That is correct. So many people want to look at getting rid of the leaven out of their houses and not focus on this. But it's a twofold deal. Just as important as it is to get rid of the leaven out of your cupboards and everything else, it's more important right here to get rid of the wickedness, the sin, the iniquity out of our hearts and out of our lives, and make sure that our hearts are circumcised after Yah. Let's take Let's take a look in the New Testament. Matthew 16, verses 5 through 6. This is where it's going to get a little I've talked about it a little bit, but here's the scriptures to back it up. Matthew 16, verses 5 and 6. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Yeshua said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And then Matthew 23, 1 through 12. I want you to hold your finger there. Matthew 23, 1 through 12. Then Yeshua spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees that sit in Moshe's seat, therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do, for they bind heavy burdens on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge their borders of their garments. They love the best places at the feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Messiah, and you are all brethren. Do not call anyone on this earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your teacher, the Messiah. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." Now going back to Matthew 16, then the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Matthew 16, 5 and 6. Now when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Yeshua said to them, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And I just read in Matthew 23, they make extra laws, extra commandments that are not biblical. The modern day scribes and the Pharisees are the religious leaders in the modern day church. Yes, I said it. Those who say you don't have to keep Yah's laws, those that say you don't have to keep the feasts, those say that those are done away with, you don't have to keep them. We don't have to do that junk anymore. That's all garbage. That was for the Jews. That's for them back then. That ain't for us. We're under grace. That is the leaven of the Pharisees, saying you don't have to do what Yah's word says. Remember what Matthew 7 says? Let me get there. Let me read it for what the word says. Not everyone, Matthew 7:21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me that day, 'Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" The scribes and the Pharisees practice lawlessness. They say we don't have to do this. That is a lie from the pits of hell. And if you belong to a church that says that, you need to leave. And you need to find a congregation, an ecclesia, that preaches the whole truth from Genesis to Revelation. And do not partake in their sins and iniquities. Get rid of that leaven out of your life. This is a warning from Yah. Set yourself apart from the rest of the world and be that righteous and holy and set apart person that he has called you out to be. I've already read 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8, a little bit of leaven. Leaven's a whole lump. We cannot partake in the world and expect to be blessed by Yah, Mishpaha. The word leaven has always been referenced to as pride and arrogance, as haughtiness, sin and iniquity.
The Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. We are seeing so much pride and arrogance in people today. It's ridiculous. People think that they're all that in a bag of chips. People think that they have it all figured out. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. I don't care if you're a Sunday goer. I don't care if you're a Shabbat keeper. If we're not in that place of humility, as Isaiah 66, 1 and 2 says, where Yah says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. On this one will I look upon. He who is of a humble heart and a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. If we are not in that place, we're doomed for destruction. Because I guarantee you, there ain't one of us that has it all figured out. We're constantly learning. The last and final time that we stop learning is when we draw our last breath and Yeshua calls us home. But before then, we're always learning, being molded and made. He is the potter and we are the clay. We are not to have power over the potter, but the potter over the clay. Do not ascend yourself up in pride and arrogance. Because you've seen and we read about what happened to Satan when he lifted himself up with pride and arrogance. He got cast down. And we know where his destination is. And that is in the lake of fire with the false prophet. And the Antichrist are going to be. We are to be that new creation. We are to practice righteousness and not lawlessness. Like I said earlier, this is not a one and done situation. This is a constant daily decision when you wake up to serve Yah. Matthew 24:13 says, those who endure until the end shall be saved. Look at Noah. He was the last righteous man on the face of the earth. And him and his household were the only ones that were saved. Him, his wife, his three sons, and their wives were the only eight people that were saved through the flood. We see another example of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew boys. They were thrown into the fire. They did not bow down to the gods of the world. They stood firm on Yah's word. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. It was cranked up seven times hotter than normal. They were thrown in. The guards that were thrown on them in got killed. And then King Nebuchadnezzar looked down and said, did I not throw three men in? And I see four men walking around. And the fourth is like the image of the Son of God. Yeshua was with them. When we stand strong and stand firm and we walk in Yah's ways according to his word, Yeshua is with us. For we are the temple of the living God and we are to glorify God in our bodies. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. But as for me, my family, we will serve Yehovah. Now is a time in a place in the season, Mishpaha, to fast, to pray, to get rid of the leaven out of our hearts and out of our lives. Sin always starts small, and it takes you farther than you want to go, and it will lead you down paths that you don't want to go. Remember, a little bit of leaven leavens a whole lump. And if you're still partaking in the worldly things, going out to clubs, partying, drinking, smoking, chewing, hanging out with those who do, breaking Shabbat, doing your own pleasure, you've become your own god. You've become your idol. You're thinking that you have it all figured out. You have a lot of leaven. There was a lot of leaven in me that I didn't know about 5 years ago. If you have to fast and pray, fast and pray. we need to cry out to Yah right now for deliverance from sin and from iniquity. We are called out of darkness and into Yah's marvelous light. We are to keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread as a statute, as a memorial, to remember what Yeshua has done for us and how He has called us out of darkness and into His light. There is still plenty of time before the commanded feast to get your houses clean and to clean your hearts. Like I said earlier, some people have already observed Passover and Unleavened Bread and First Fruits. Like I said, for us, we'll be doing it in about a week and a half now. And there's still plenty of time to get your hearts right, to get ready for this biblical feast. We don't have to do this. We get to do this. We have the privilege and the honor to do this Mishpacha. Yes, it is commanded. We should do it. But we get to. It shouldn't be begrudgingly, oh man, I have to keep the fast. I have to get rid of all the leaven. I can't eat bread. Man, I can't eat my cookies. Man, this is going to be rough. That's not the type of heart to have. We should be excited about it. Because Yeshua has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. He has set us apart. The Creator of this world has revealed His Son, Yeshua, His truth, His Torah to each and every one of us. Don't delay any longer. Who cares what the world thinks? Who cares what your family thinks? You don't serve your family. You're an adult. You're going to stand before Yah and give an account how you served Him. You know, when Yeshua hung on that cross between heaven and hell, I don't care if you think He hung on a stake, a cross, whatever it was. He hung between heaven and hell for you and for me. And when He was on there, He thought of each and every one of us. He died for the sins of man, past, present, and future. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do that is wrong. I beg you, I implore you today, do not delay any longer. Death and hell and judgment are real. So is heaven. There's a lot of people preaching out there, it's just for a little bit, it's okay, then we'll end up with Yeshua. No. They're cast out into utter darkness with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Those who practice lawlessness. Are we doing our part by preaching the gospel to the nations, to the Gentiles, to the world? Are we living our lives as an example for others to follow? Or are we just going about, I don't care. No big deal. That's not the attitude to have. A part-time child of Yah cannot beat a full-time devil. If we're not reading and studying and fasting and praying on a daily basis, if we're not giving Yah the first fruits of our lives, every day when we wake up, we need to do some reorganizing. And it needs to happen today. There is no time to waste. The perfect plan of salvation through the precious blood of our Pesach Lamb, our Master Yeshua. And I'll end with this scripture right here. Hebrews 11:23-29. Kind of a off-the-cuff scripture. But as I was finishing this, putting this message together this morning, I was reading in Hebrews this morning. And I thought this passage was just absolutely perfect to fit right here. I want you to take heed. We're talking about the faith of Moshe here. Hebrews 11:23-29. By faith, Moshe, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. There it is. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of what man may do to you, but fear the one that can kill the body and the spirit. Be afraid of the one that can throw you into outer darkness. Fear him, tremble at his name, at his word. Keep his commandments and live. Verse number 24. By faith, Moshe, when he would become of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of Elohim than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Messiah greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover with the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempting to do so were drowned. By faith we keep these biblical feasts as a foreshadow of what's to come. The substance is Messiah, Hebrews chapter 4 through 6, the promise of eternal rest. We keep them as an everlasting ordinance of what Yeshua did and what's going to be established in the future, and how Yah, the Father, by his Holy Spirit, called us to his Son, Yeshua Mashiach. This is our inheritance that has been given to us. Don't let a little bit of leaven the whole lump of your body, of the temple of the living God. What is sitting on your throne, on your heart, on the throne room of your heart? Is it our Savior, Master, King Yeshua, or is it ourselves? We need to ask ourselves these questions. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is a time of reflection of what Yehovah did, pulling us out of Egypt and setting us apart to be his people. When we are diligently cleaning our houses and getting rid of all of the leaven, let's make sure that we are doing the same thing for our temple, for our bodies. That we are getting rid of the leaven of this world, the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of religion, and do not be partakers with them any longer. And make sure that our lives are lining up with Yah's holy word. Circumcise your heart to obey him today, because Yehovah wants to bless us in all that we do. He wants us to be the head. He does not want us to be the tail. Go and read Deuteronomy 28, the entire chapter. Do not delay any longer. We are in the wedding rehearsal as we speak. My last question to each and every one of you today, and I'll end with this. Are we ready to meet our Passover King, the Passover Lamb, King Yeshua? Shabbat Shalom, family. Hope you have a blessed and wonderful rest of your Sabbath today. Hope this teaching has been a blessing to each and every one today. Make sure we turn our eyes to Yeshua, turn our eyes on him, and keep our focus on him at all times, because the time is now. No better time than the here and the now and the present, Mishpah. We love y'all, but remember, y'all loves you more. Shalom, shalom, family. Be blessed today.